Hi, and welcome to the HSP World Podcast, a place and space for highly sensitives. With each episode, we have a conversation about an interesting HSP-related topic. We're holding space with you because HSPs only make up 15 to 20% of the population. So most of the time, HSPs are surrounded by non-HSPs. And HSP-only combos are a bit different than non-HSP combos. We feel it's important for HSPs to hear this difference. We're not coaches or therapists, we're HSPs holding space with you. I'm one of your co-hosts, Rain, and our other wonderful co-host today is Tanya.
So hello, Britta could...
Hey, Tanya. So Britta couldn't be with us for this episode, but she will be with us for the next one. As you know, we've started a mini-series on self-care for highly sensitives, and it includes six topics on aspects of self-care we've been exploring with you. We're on the fifth topic of self-care in our series, and it's social self-care strategies for highly sensitives. So first, what is social self-care? And it's been defined as activities that nurtures and deepens the relationships with people in your life. So some examples are going with brunch with friends, going on a date, making time to call your mom regularly, etc. So that's what it is, and a couple of examples. So Tanya, how do you feel? Are you comfortable with kicking us off on how you practice social self-care?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that is really... that I've really had to work on. You know, I'm quite introverted. And so, yeah, so I think this topic is super important, you know, because I think about it in terms of, yes, it's our connections with other people, but also having boundaries, right, that are so important for us as HSPs. Yeah. And I can be quite socially awkward. It takes me time to warm up to other people and to be myself. And it's, you know, it's always easier with some people than others, right? But it can be a struggle. And so for me, actually using Zoom, that was really kind of catapulted, right, by the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's made it a lot easier for me now, because I can meet new friends like you, Rain, and and talk with people, but I'm still in my own space.
Yeah.
Which can be really comforting. And you know, it's easier for me to kind of retreat to my own space when, you know, when those encounters, when those meetings, when those chats are over. Yeah. So I think that that's probably my first thing, is that making sure that you have those types of boundaries set up for yourself as much as you can, so you can have that space to kind of pull back and take care of yourself when you need to.
That's actually an interesting point, and pretty cool that was one of the things that the pandemic helped us with.
Really? Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, with all of course, the difficulties and pain and adjustment and everything, the chaos that it caused, and is still causing, right? For me personally, that was something really positive that came out of it for me personally. It's kind of launched a whole new aspect of my life that I feel probably wouldn't have been available to me if it wasn't for that.
That's really cool. I like that.
How about for you?
Well, you know, when I was thinking about this, I my thoughts kind of, because I've learned a lot in creating HSP World, and I didn't do this alone at all. I did it with other HSPs. We've been co-creating it. And you know, it's been really fun, and I've also learned a lot, because, you know, for the social part, it really helped me understand, and is still helping me understand, because there's so much to it, that it's so interesting to keep learning about it. And so just to give a little background, how it first started was I had written a book and someone had reached out to me. Thomas had and said he really liked it and whatnot. We started chatting, and he had learned he had the HSP trait, and so it was a really cool, it was a cool social meeting point, and so we just got really excited and started thinking of different things and things that were fun that, to do that we could do that would help HSPs. And so one of the things we wanted to do was we wanted a place for HSPs that was online, but that didn't have ads, it wasn't overwhelming, it was quiet, that kind of thing. So we started playing with I think it was a product, it was an off-the-shelf product. And so that was really fun. And very social, and then we added things to it, and then we invited some HSPs in to ask them what they thought of it, and that was really cool. And through that, there was about, oh, I don't know, 10 of us, and we started writing like kind of like long kind of little messages. They were basically like blog posts is what they were, and it was really, really cool to see into their world and to read their thoughts and their feelings. And so that was really fun, and it was, it was social basically, right? And then from that, we then determined, okay, well, Discord is gonna it would basically cost, hundreds of thousands of dollars to tweak this software so
That's
that it
quite a
did.
commitment.
It was too big of a commitment at the time, right? And we were there for fun, like it was learning and whatnot, right? So we decided, so we asked them, hey, do you want to, would you want to write blog posts, for HSP World? They were all like, yes. We were like, cool. So then we changed it, and we made the what currently is the website for HSP World. And so through that then kind of morphed. But I also learned boundaries through this, because after some time went on, just naturally, some people after they wrote, maybe five or six articles, over a period of, say 6 months, they'd say, I can't commit to it anymore. I have other things, and be like, okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Right. And then, we do a call out and ask for another writer, that type of thing. So I was noticing, though, as time was going on, that the blog posts were great and they were interesting, but I was seeing some common things, like common sort of challenges that HSPs have. And so I thought, we need to change this so that it's more solution oriented, right? Because the way it is does not mean it has to be that way till the end of time, or it can change just like we do, right? So, or hopefully like we do. So anyways, I chatted with our writers, and and I also learned too, it because HSPs are very sensitive. So when I was editing the pieces, because there did need to be a bit of editing sometimes, I had to be very diplomatic about how what needed to change and why, and that kind of thing, right? So it was in yeah. So I was learning a lot about, HSPs, and all HSPs are different, like no two are the same either, right? So it was interesting, because once I said, okay, let's make this more solution oriented, and here's the template, and geez, half our writers dropped off. They were like, nope, that's it. I can't do that. I don't want to.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, right? It was like, okay, well, I get it, right? Because change, any kind of change, Sometimes we're ready for it and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we can, like inch ourselves toward it. Sometimes we can't, right? But it was interesting because that was kind of a boundary too, because I was feeling like, okay, I'm not growing. I'm not learning anything here. And I want to continue growing and learning more about it. What things are helpful for us or in me, right? So after half of them dropped off, it was like, okay. And then kept working with them. And so that was really cool. So that was really cool. But I also had to kind of stick to that boundary because a couple of them would say, well, can I just do, this or that, or, that kind of thing, right? And it was basically not going with the new format of let's be solution oriented here. What can we do? And so I had to kind of stick to what, the direction I felt it, we kind of needed to go in, and then so that was cool because that was basically boundaries and it was in a social way, right? Because it's basically just it was a fun thing we started up, right? And also too, I noticed things changing with the social media stuff because I get a real kick out of doing the social media posts, right? Of making them up and finding stuff and that kind of thing. And I noticed like over time, it was like, you know what? Like you get told like, oh, if you're doing stuff on social media, you need to be doing this and you need to be doing that. And it's very difficult for HSPs to kind of go, yeah, okay, well, I see the way it's been, it's being done, but I don't want to do it that way. That's not the way that feels right for me. And I'm not doing it that way,
It's not, it doesn't feel authentic, right?
Yeah, it didn't feel authentic, So, but I, again, that was, it was like, I did it for fun, but it's a social vehicle, right? And so, it took me a little while to get to the point where I was like, no, this doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel right. And so I was like, no, not going to do that. So then I finally kind of worked it into a pattern that feels good for me. It's like 3 times a week, a funny one on Monday, a serious, more serious type one on Wednesday, and then a question on Saturday. And I thought, no, that feels right for me. That feels comfortable for me. I don't want to be hammering stuff out, and because that's just doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel like I'll be putting something of quality that I enjoy,
Yeah, I get it.
and give me the space that I need and want, so that if I hadn't have given that space for myself to go, okay, 3 times is enough. That's it. Done. Right. Because again, you're monitoring, you've got to monitor it. Right. And if you got, trolls or spammers or whatever going on, you got to deal with it. Right. So it was like, no, I don't want to, this is how much time I'm willing to give this. And, this is what I'm going to do. Right. And it was really interesting because when I kind of went that route, that's when I was like, I love art, I love, and I want to support artists in any way I can, the majority of them are HSPs. And that's when it came up for the Wednesday post to start featuring an artist, because most HSPs love art, so it was like, oh, that's kind of cool, I'll kind of marry a couple things together there, and so it's just, I guess for me, it's a continual learning, it's a continual learning and feeling into and getting comfortable with, what is good for me, what is okay for me, and then putting that out there and being okay with whatever comes, because you basically have to be like, I don't care what anyone thinks. You really do. You have to be like, I don't care. It's just, and for me, it's like, no, this is something that I enjoy, that's fun for me, and I'm gonna do it my way, And if if someone likes it, okay. If they don't, well, then it's not for them, you know?
Yeah, learning to say no to things, people, events, situations that aren't good for us, and learning to say yes to the ones that are, right? And that's really true about social media in any way, shape, or form, I find.
Absolutely. And so that was really, really cool because, and I also dropped one of the social media channels because we were doing three and I dropped one because I was like, no, that's enough, because I sized them for each one kind of thing. So I was like, no, that's enough. I'm not doing that. So where we are is where we are, right? And so that's been really cool. And it has been an exercise in boundaries, though, not like socially. Again, with social media, but also it was with the writers, and it was also learning what my boundaries were, what I felt comfortable with, because, it's kind of like this thing was stuck in my head where it's like, okay, well, if you put your boundaries, then that's it. And, it's interesting because what I was comfortable with, say, like 5 years ago, I'm not comfortable with now,
Yep, our boundaries definitely shift and change, and we have to kind of go with the flow for sure.
And it's uncomfortable. It feels uncomfortable. It
Yep.
feels weird and uncomfortable. So it's almost like you got to get used to feeling weird and uncomfortable.
It's like, deciding when you're 12 years old that when you grow up, you're going to be a doctor, and then when you're 30, you decide, no, this is not right for me. Then we change and grow as people, and that includes our boundaries for sure.
Hopefully we change and grow as people.
Yes.
There's people I've met that do not change,
Yes, that's true. You're very right.
and it's so, and there's nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying it's that's one less person you can look to see as an example. How do I do that? You know what I mean? So so that's why it can feel uncomfortable for me. Anyways, that's how it felt. And you know what? I think for me, it's also helped in social situations for different things too. Like, I think it was about a month and a half ago, and someone, like, I didn't know them that well. Like, I kind of knew them, but I didn't know them that well. And they started sharing something, pretty, well, let's just say it was inappropriate, It was like very personal, very negative, and that kind of thing. And it was interesting because when they very first started to, I knew what they were, I knew kind of what direction that conversation was headed in. And I just stopped them. I just interrupted them, which people tell you is rude, but you know what? Whatever. And I just said, I'm not willing to hear this. This is not appropriate for me to hear. I don't feel comfortable hearing this at this point. Maybe you should talk to, a professional or somebody about this, And I had to say it a couple of times, they were pretty, they wanted to say this, that I was pretty, sort of putting my fingers, sort of putting my fingers in my ears and going, la, 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 that was pretty it, but I was very, I was pretty, that was it. That was, it was
Yeah,
not
adamant
happening. I
about
was
it.
not, yeah, I was not, it was not going to be productive for them, and it was not going to be helpful for me, So it was like, no, this isn't happening. And it was funny because a couple of days later I thought, geez, I think that's the first time I've ever done that, like said, I'm not ready to hear this, this isn't appropriate kind of thing, I'm not comfortable hearing this. And it was a social situation, and it was like I felt really, I think that's a thing too, is a lot of the little victories, for us that we have, it, I guess I thought to myself, geez, this, I'm so proud of myself for doing this, because I know for me, you know, what a big deal boundaries are for me and looking after myself is. And I thought, you know, for somebody else, they'd be like, yeah, big deal. So what, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, but I think, especially in social situations, right? Because one of the main things that all humans want is acceptance, you know? And for HSPs, I think it can be even more so because we do feel different, you know? So I, for me, I felt like, you know, geez, that was really cool. That was a, you know, good for you that you did that, you know? And so I hope any HSPs who are listening, you know, when you catch yourself, you know, changing a pattern or doing something a little bit different that feels good, but it's kind of scary, you know, and you know, feels kind of weird and uncomfortable, that you give yourself props and notice that, you know, for what it is. And you know, it's a big milestone because it took a lot of steps to, you know, to reach some, you know, to reach the, you know, those kind of moments. And to not like disregard them as nothing because, you know, they're important and you know, self-care is super important, right?
For sure. Yeah, I totally get it. And it takes, you know, and also not comparing your what we'll call it progress, for lack of a better term, right, with somebody else's.
Yes.
Like I'm X amount, you know, I'm X years old
Yeah.
and I still can't, you know, stand up to my whatever it is, mother or something like that, or I can't set boundaries. There's, you know, trying
Yeah.
not to place judgment on ourself when it comes to that type of thing, because it is hard work,
Yeah.
and you know, everybody is going to handle it different and in their own space and time. So have a
Yeah.
lot of patience and self-compassion, for any little step that you can make, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the self-forgiveness thing too, right?
Yep.
It's like, you know, I like playing Wordle, right? And I only do it once a day. Well, you can only the New York Times one, you can only do it once a day.
Yep.
And it's sometimes I'll get the word on like the third try, you know, and then, you know, could be the next day I all six tries and I didn't get
Yep.
it, you know. It's like,
Yep.
what the heck, you know? And it's you know, so it's in a way it's kind of like that, you know, just the trying is sort of where you're winning, you know, that you're trying, you know, and you can't, it's just impossible to compare. Like I can't compare myself with anybody else because I don't know anybody else like me, you
Yep.
know, and I, you know, and you know, with the, you know, same life experiences and that type of thing. So I don't have, you know, I don't have too big of a thing comparing myself. But where I do have a thing is, you know, like I have to watch it and do what you're talking about, Tanya, with self-compassion is when I'm too hard on myself. Like you know, I figure like, oh, you should have done that better, or you should have known better, or you know,
Yeah,
all those.
easy trap to fall into for sure.
Yeah, the you know, they someone once told me when you're shooting on yourself, you're shitting on yourself.
Yes,
We don't normally
don't
swear
shoot
on
all
here,
over
but
yourself.
you
Yep,
know,
I know that
yeah, right. And it's a good thing to remember, you know, because it's you know, we're all at different levels of acceptance of our HSP trait. And then learning the tools that are going to be helpful for us and be supportive for us. And that's why I think social is really important because, you know, it's you know, a lot of the time we can look externally, you know, to see how other people are doing. And that's, like you said, Tanya, where the comparing stuff comes in, right? And it's just there really is no way to compare it. You know, I mean, there's people are different across all walks of life, and you know, so it's pretty futile to do that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'll share something really kind of like practical, that I used to do when we talk about comparing. is it's kind of a twofold thing. You know, first is kind of scheduling social time ahead of time, so I'm prepared for it mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, so I can kind of know, and it lets me have more control over the amount of time as well. So like impromptu meetups or somebody knocking on the door, you know, without me knowing, it's not usually my thing unless, you know, I know you really, really well. And that's a very small handful. But also, you know, when I live outside Seattle now, but I used to live in California, and I had a group of friends, you know, coworkers, we'd go out, and I would almost always drive myself. So even if it was like an hour plus drive, they would think I was such, well, basically kind of a weirdo, right? Like, why are you gonna drive an hour and a half to the same place we're going to, right? Because I wanted to be sure that when I needed to leave, I could leave, right? And so sometimes it wasn't very economical, but it was really vital for my mental and emotional health to have that knowledge that I could, you know, pull myself out whenever I needed to. And I think that really goes back to another kind of really everyday way to set up some of those boundaries. Like, even if you love the people that you're, you know, spending time with, you know when enough is enough, and to kind of have your well, your exit strategy for lack of a better word, right?
Absolutely. And for me, a lot of that had to do with being, well, some of it has to do with knowing, because it's not going to be, no 2 days are the same. You know, one day I can have the energy for it and be cool with it. Everything's fine, awesome, right? And but the next day it could be like my energy feels low. I don't know, I'm not quite sure why. I need to kind of look at what's going on here. Maybe I didn't have a good sleep, maybe something, maybe I had a really emotional conversation, or who knows what it was, right? Or maybe I'm working through something myself and it's taking, a lot of emotional energy for me. So, and that's okay, and I think that's where I have, I've really had to become okay with saying, with me saying to myself, it's okay for today that this is what you can do, it's totally 100% okay. And because of course, people are going to say to you, well, come on, 10 minutes more, just a little bit longer, or whatever it is, which is, it's really nice, that's really nice. But I think it's kind of then it's again the boundary thing, or it's like, oh, thanks so much, next time, or whatever it is. And so that it's, so that you're looking after you, because in the end, that's, you're responsible for your self-care, right? Nobody else is, and nobody else can fully know what you're feeling and what you're thinking and what your energy levels are at, and all that kind of thing, right? So cool. Okay, well, thank you, Tanya, for sharing your experiences. And thank you, highly sensitive listeners, for sharing your space and time today. Feel free to join us on Instagram or Facebook, and join us for our next podcast where we'll be chatting about spiritual self-care for highly sensitives. Okay, see you next time. Bye, Tonya.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Rain.